Hey, this is Andrew, and welcome to the second part of my interview with Charlie Tien, the author of Invest Like a Guru and founder of Guru Focus. In this episode, Charlie shares how he discovers new investment ideas, the Buffett indicator, his thoughts on the current correction, and advice for new investors. You can trial all of Charlie's stock analysis features free for 7 days by visiting medicalmoney.com/guru. This podcast is not financial advice, and all opinions expressed by podcast participants are solely their own. Please seek professional advice before making any financial or investment decision. How do you decide what is a reasonable price to pay for a good quality company once you've identified it?
It's actually very, very hard to do. And I look at the general market valuations, and usually for high quality companies, I'm okay to pay a little bit more in certain, like PE ratio, higher PE ratio than the market average. I'm okay with it. And because if I buy a company, I usually hold it for a long time. Even if it looks overvalued, I still hold it. Because the reason is with my capital, with my quality requirement, it's so hard to find a good company that meets the requirement. Even if I sell this company, I cannot find other things to buy. So I would rather hold on to it. And if the price declines, I will buy more probably. But I will hold on it, even if it's overvalued.
Yep. So you make a point in the book that you, by buying a quality company, you insulate yourself against market movements and declines because that company is still profitable, it's still growing, and it has good profit margins, doesn't it? So if you're holding for 20 years, you're ultimately insured against significant drawdowns on the value.
I can sleep very well with the companies I own. So I don't worry. I'm not worried if market declines 30%. I'm really not worried. The stocks I own probably will decline, but I know that they will go through this crash. They will go through this recession and survive and be stronger. So that's actually a good time to buy for me. So I'm really not worried. The quality is the first thing. If you have a good quality companies, you don't need to worry about it.
And so we're looking at those numbers of earnings, margins, and growth. That's obviously looking backwards. Does that mean, do you invest at all in new companies, the ones that are going to be the next unicorn when you don't have obviously the profitability yet, or do you just stay clear of them?
I stay clear from them. I had my lesson in 2000, year 2000.
Yeah, so bitten hard then and stick away. Because I think it's important to have the areas that we don't play in as well, isn't it? Where we know that we don't have a advantage. So then what is your selling strategy? And do you ever sell?
I almost don't sell for the companies I own if I like, unless the fundamental change. Sometimes, occasionally, if I went out of my field, I saw this might be a bargain, this may turn around, it's having some difficulty, it may turn around. Occasionally I buy some stocks there, and I always get punished for that. I do that less and less, and I stay clear from those. So I buy high quality companies, so I don't sell.
With your portfolio, do you have a limit on the percentage of your portfolio that you'll put into one stock, and do you rebalance at all?
Actually, if I buy, I usually don't do rebalance. I think it's mainly related to the confidence you have in a position. If you have lots of confidence in it, you can put lots of money in it. You don't worry about it. It's really how confident you are with that company. So I don't do rebalance. Like Church & Dwight, I used to have more than 30% on that, more than 30%. Then I bought some other company, bought more of some other companies. So the ratio of Church & Dwight declined. But I don't do selling just to, because it's too much.
Yep. So you'll just keep riding out the quality companies as long as there hasn't been any major problem with it. Good. So you get a lot of data from gurus and users of Guru Focus. How do you get your investment ideas?
I mainly get ideas from two portions, two ways. One is look at the guru's portfolio. I have some favorite gurus I like, and I respect them. I understand their strategy. One is like Donald Ekman. The other is Chuck Ecker. And I respect them very much. I sometimes look at their portfolios. The other way is I have built some screeners on gurufolks.com. If you're a subscriber to gurufolks.com, if you go to all-in-one screener there, and under Guru Focus screens, I built all of these screens. I have my favorite one. One is called High Quality Low Capex. That screen. And I always go there, and most of my other investments are from that screen. And interestingly, some of this screen, the results from this screen are also in like Chuck Ecker's portfolio. So it's a relatively easy decision for me. I start from there and look at the companies and to see if I like the business, to see it's really what the screeners are telling me. And then I decide if I want to invest or not.
Okay, so you really look at the gurus that you follow, and then you use your screeners, and that's the two entry points to your funnel for assessing new investments. Good. And so on Guru Focus, you've got a ton of data, from raw numbers to ratios, stock screeners. You even have insider buying, where people can see which CEOs have bought into their own company's stocks. And then you've got the guru trades as well. Which parts of Guru Focus do you find subscribers use the most?
See, these days, more and more subscribers are using fundamental data-related features, such as all-in-one screener and 30-year financial page itself. For every company, we have 30 years of financials. They also look at our rankings on financial strength and business quality. And then they also use interact charts. I would say all-in-one screener and the 30-year financial data are the most used pages on Guru Focus.
Yeah. What I love about your financial data is that, unlike most of, at least in the Australian, your brokerage account has the numbers from previous years. I think it's typically a Morningstar feed. But with one click of the button, you have the year-on-year button, and then you can just automatically see the percentage change in all of those things, from earnings to profit margin to free cash flow growth. And that is just automatically like a microscope that you can switch on just with one button. That's my favorite button. And you have a background in physics and technology. Big tech has really led the recent bull run and has been resilient in the correction as well. How do you approach investing in the technology sector?
Although I have a background in physics and technology, I have 32 patents. And it means I understand lots of technology, but I don't feel I have an advantage in technology investing. I really don't feel so. And I still need to understand everything about the technology. I still need to think whether this technology will be sustainable over a long time. I don't feel I have the ability to predict which technology company will stay over a long time or not. So because of this, I don't invest a lot into in technology sector. I do have some software companies that I own. One is Ansys, A-N-S-S, which is an engineering software company. It simulates all kinds of engineering design, like bridges, buildings, and even airplane engines simulations. And I like that company very much because I feel that it has a strong moat. I used to work with some simulation software before. I know it's very hard for others to copy. And I love that company. It has very good margin, no debt, those kind of thing. But for very popular technology, consumer-based technology, such as Google, Apple, I don't feel I have a very strong advantage there.
I think I've heard you speak previously where you divided technology sector into two parts. There's like the software part, which has really good margins and, you know, can grow and has very low capex. And then you've got the technology companies which have got high capex, and things like Tesla, which is still a metal bender for a lot of its car production. And then you've got Apple, which still actually has to produce things in factories, compared to something like Microsoft or Adobe, which is really just, you know, disseminating information via the internet these days. You say it's important to beware of market cycles. How have you invested? You've now invested through two market crashes, and this is now a third that we're in right now. How does this one feel different to you?
This one, I feel that although we went through a 30% decline, but I feel that it didn't happen yet. In the last two ones I had, it was much longer. 2001, 2002, at least 2 years. And the second one, 2008, 2009, 2007. And we're just into it. And I don't know what will happen from this point. But market seems to be optimistic. But I think that in every recession, there will be some bankruptcies of very big companies. Like in 2001 recession, the biggest one was WorldCom, telecom company. And 2008, we had Bear Stearns, we had Lehman Brothers bankruptcy, we had Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and like bankrupt, the shareholders were wiped out. But this one, it has not happened yet, at least. I would be very surprised if there's no big, huge companies bankrupt in a recession. I'll be very surprised. So I think that from this point, it will still go on for a while, I believe. But of course, I'm not 100% sure for that.
Yeah, I think we saw a lot of money printing in the last correction, but interest rates now are just at like record lows and negative interest rates, which is something that is really unprecedented. So combining interest rates and money printing with no inflation, it's hard to see. Hard to predict, really, because it's different times, isn't it? Yeah. I think, a lot of people wondering, are we at the bottom? Have we had the bottom in the correction? And one thing that you do focus on is the Buffett indicator. Can you explain the Buffett indicator and how you approach it?
The Buffett indicator is it's basically a ratio, the ratio of the total market cap divided by the GDP. So you add all the stocks, the valuation, the value of all the market value of all the stocks together divided by the country's GDP. And Warren Buffett said that it's a single best indication of where the market valuation is at any time. He said that in 1998, I believe. And historically, this ratio, the Buffett indicator, will fluctuate around a number. Of course, that number is affected by interest rate. But when this ratio is high, it usually means the market is overvalued. And if you compare we can project the future returns of the market from the Buffett indicator. If the projected return is low, like sometimes it goes to negative. And the market usually is overvalued and the return in the future will be low. In that case, you should even more focus on the quality of the business, because higher quality business usually decline less in a market crash. And sometimes last two years, it was very hard for me to find companies to buy. It's very hard. And the Buffett indicator was predicting negative returns, and it's very hard to find companies to buy. Every company I like, the company I own, has so high valuation, and I don't want to add money to it. So it was just like that. But then in March of this year, the market was declined more than 30%. The Buffett indicator was projecting a higher return. I did buy some stocks in March.
Okay. Yep. I've got the Buffett indicator from Guru Focus in front of me right now, and as of today, it says it's 132.3% and likely return a negative 0.4% return a year based on this valuation. So you have gone shopping in the last month or so. Are you able to share with us any of the stocks that you might have picked up in the correction?
Yeah. Still the high quality companies I like from the. The high quality CapEx screener. I bought Ansys. I bought some more Ansys. Bought some more Church and Dwight. bought a company called Fast Nail. It's making the construction like nails. So it's kind of a store.
Oh, excellent. And in the past 2 months, we've seen the rapid sell off and then equally rapid bounce. What do you think investors should know about investing in times like these?
I think they should know that although we had a decline, and the market is still expensive. Market is not cheap. Even when it declined 30% in March, it wasn't cheap, still not cheap. And when they invest, they still need to be really careful with the quality of the business. And but you don't want to wait. You don't always want to wait. You don't know what will happen in the future. And if you want to buy, you should stay with the high quality, non-cyclical, high quality companies at this point. Yep.
And invest for the long term. I think that's the other big thing, isn't it? Yeah. So what's a value trap and how can investors spot them?
Value trap is something that looks cheap and looks that undervalued, but the value will continue to decline. So even if you buy at a bargain, but the price will decline, so a bargain will not be a bargain anymore. You can get stuck in it. Well, I wrote in my book that one clear indication of a value trap is that the profit margin will decline. You can see the operating margin will gradually decline over long term. It declines. Initially, you may not notice it. If you don't pay attention to it, you may not notice. You may see still the revenue is growing, but actually the earning does not grow anymore because the margin declines. Then gradually the earning will decline, the margin will the revenue will stop growing. Then the next stage will be the revenue start decline and earning goes to negative. So you need to look at the long-term trend of the profit margin. That's a very good indication of the value trap.
And that comes back against my favorite button on GuruFocus, that YOY button, which gives you, straight away you can see it's red and you know that this company is declining in its margins or net income, which is so simple to see. So just with some advice for new investors, a lot of us have only been in the market for the last few years during what's been a monster bull run. What are common mistakes that early investors make and how do you think they can avoid them?
Lots of early investors will be like me in year 2000 and year 1998. They will be just looking at the future of the company. Usually they like to invest in a hot industry, and the company would be like having a bright future and expanding market, something like that, a new technology, new market. But usually new investor will not look at the profitability. And they don't know. Sometimes, a lot of times they don't know. They need to look at the profitability of the business. So they forget the risk. They don't realize the risk they are taking. So I would suggest them to read a lot. You need to have the knowledge. You need to know that the market can decline a lot. Read the books, my book, Invest Like a Guru, Peter Lynch's books. I think it will be very helpful. And it's really knowledge and experience.
And so those books are really good for, strategy. When it comes to investing, a lot of it is, there's head and there's stomach. And a lot of the time it's the stomach that is really the one that makes the decisions. What books have you found useful in terms of psychology and the psychology of investing?
Actually, people talk about psychology. I feel that it's still knowledge. If you have enough knowledge, you know what you are doing. You have enough confidence in what you do. So you will not be affected by others. So I don't think it's a lot about psychology. Although lots of people are saying that, my personal opinion is that it's still knowledge. Why Warren Buffett knows what he's doing? Why he's so confident in what he's doing? Why people are citing in 2008, and he wrote an article said, "Buy American, I am," in September 2008. Why he's doing that? Because he knows what he's doing. It's not just psychology. He has a knowledge. He knows that the company he buys will still do okay in a recession and will come out strong. He knows that the general economy will still do well, and America will still have a bright future. And if you have the knowledge, have the confidence, you don't need that psychology. That's my point.
I think you made a good point there. I think you might be underestimating the innate strength that you have. You're always, I think you and Buffett are very calm and unwavering in terms of, you know, the signal and noise ratio. You understand the signal because of your confidence in your research, and that filters out a lot of the noise. Whereas probably for, you know, young investors and early investors, the noise really takes over, and that's really the hardest part.
Yes.
And what affects their decision.
Yes. I used to joke that if your wife asks you to sell stocks, you need to buy. I used to joke that. It's really about knowledge. And if you learn, gradually you will recognize more about the signal, and you will recognize the noise too. And it's really a long-term learning process.
Yeah. A lot of people are investing in index funds. Do you invest in index funds, and what's your opinion on them?
I don't invest in index fund myself. I feel that the risk is not under my control if I invest in index funds. But I think if you don't have the time to buy, to research, and you don't want to learn, index funds can be a very good thing, at least for Americans. The US market average has been doing pretty well over many, many years, last 100 years. So if you invest in index funds, you still do pretty well. But for other for countries like China, I just looked at the numbers a few days ago. People in China, if they invest in an index fund, in a Shanghai Stock Exchange market average, they could hardly beat the inflation for a long time. So for Americans, they are lucky. They should invest in index if they don't have time to research.
That's a very good point you raise, actually, about the geographical differences, because like in Australia, we don't grow as fast as the US in terms of our major index. But what we do have is a much higher dividend payout. So we sit at an average of about 4%, whereas the US indexes typically sit around the high ones, low twos, maybe.
Yeah.
So that has a huge income benefit for people if they're investing in index funds over time, because they get that slower capital growth, but they get money in their pocket to spend as they hit retirement as well. Yeah. So many of my listeners are 30 to 45 years old. If you could travel back in time to visit the 30-year-old Charlie Tien, what would you tell yourself about investing, and what advice would you give?
I think that you need to do two things. One is still you need to buy, sell some stocks. You need to buy investing stocks, and you need real experience. And second is really learn to read everything. Get real experience with businesses too. And read is really the first thing. And I like what Chuck Ecker said in one of the Guru Focus conference. He said that good judgment is from experience, and experience is from bad judgment. That's what he said. So basically, you need to do it, and you need to learn. You need to do both of them.
I think it comes down to that leaders are readers, and learners are earners in terms of being able to compound, because it's not just about compounding our investment financially. It's also about compounding our knowledge, experience, and wisdom, which then leads to confidence to be able to compound that financial gain as well, doesn't it? It's the way that I kind of approach it.
Right.
Thank you so much for sharing your time so generously with us today. I sincerely want to say that your book, Guru Focus, has totally changed my approach to investing, and pairing that with gurufocus.com has really helped me evaluate quality of companies. How can listeners find out more about you?
Of course, they can go to gurufocus.com to find me. And also, I've been making some YouTube videos, and it's under Guru Focus channel under YouTube. If you go to YouTube and search for Guru Focus channels, I've been doing some videos as well. And I plan to start a value investing class, an online class, actually. It will be a series of videos in a series of teaching value investing. You will be able to find me there in a few weeks.
Right, so we should be seeing that coming out end of May, early June?
I would say that it would be somewhere middle of May starting.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Excellent. I look forward to seeing that one there. Thank you again. Have a great afternoon, and so grateful for you sharing your time with me today. Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Very glad to be here. Thank you.
If you want to learn more about value investing, I highly recommend you pick up a copy of Charlie's book, Invest Like a Guru. Remember, you can also trial Guru Focus free for 7 days by visiting medicalmoney.com/guru. If you're interested in learning how to optimize your finances, please subscribe to this podcast. Also, head over to my blog, medicalmoney.com, and subscribe to stay updated. If you know a colleague who might also find this information useful, please share this with them. I'd love to get your feedback, so send questions, comments, and recommendations to me at andrew@medicalmoney.com. See you in the next episode.